Hello, everybody, and welcome to The Obscure. My name is Thea, and I'm a film director, music video maker, and editor from Georgia. Let's get started. Together with all the other stuff, one thing that I'm quite proud of is the fact that I, at age of 24, 25, I got a black belt in Taekwondo. It's a martial art. It's Korean martial art, which is considerably young, and it encompasses a lot of techniques from different martial arts styles. Before I started training, I was quite a shy and awkward kid. I didn't have a gut to fight for myself. My self-esteem was really low, and also I had a strong lack of healthy communication. And when I entered the Taekwondo club, I found a family for myself. In Eastern culture, we all know that martial arts are not just a sport or a fighting style. It's a lifestyle, it's a philosophy. And it's a Do at the end of Taekwondo, means the way, the spiritual way. And if you break it down, Taekwondo is a way of the fist and the kick. It of course goes deeper than that, but the fact that I really loved about the club is that there are different levels. You get different colored belts, and it's not just you going up and achieving black belt. It's a communication. The higher belt you get, you also become a teacher. The belt above you is teaching you something, you're trying to teach something to the belt below, and the belt below is teaching something to the one even lower than them. And it's a never-ending cycle. The community helps you, and you help the community, and you grow together. And that's what's so wonderful about it. You literally find a family there, because after I stopped training for 4 years, and then I came back, felt like we just parted yesterday. You get closest friends ever, even closer ones than those I got in a pub. Because here you get sweaty together, you kick each other in the faces, you see each other in a state where even your mother sometimes doesn't see you. It's beautiful. A very lovely memory I have from training Taekwondo is the first ever summer camp that I attended. We went to the Ateni Valley. It's like a huge canyon, and at the bottom of it there is a river, and there are several, they don't call it villages, they call it districts. Gorgoland, Ubani, and this kind of names. And at one of those districts our coach had a house. And that's where we went for the training. So in the morning we would wake up early and we'd climb the hill, and it was a terrible experience for me because I immediately got a blood pressure and my head would hurt really badly. And then we walk up the hill, the coach would put us upside down, and once the blood started flowing into my brain, I felt relief. So we had a light training there, more closer to yoga, and then we went down, we would have a breakfast, then we go out to train again. After that we come back, we eat, we take a rest, and in the evening we go out and train again. And if you were in the camp like this for the first time, for first 3 days, like, you're good, you're spending energy, you're training, you're holding up. After 3 days, all newbies were just dead. And it's not only training, because we also would play checkers with our coach. Of course, we didn't know he was a master. So every time you lost, you had to do 50 push-ups. At the end of the camp, we could like do 50 on one breath, and we could do as much as 150 or a bet in some sort of a game, which we started playing. Why I really remember is because one day we went hiking, we were hiking second highest hill in the valley. It was called Jamjama. We went there, we put on our uniforms, and it was really hot. I got a sunburn. So we climbed the hill, and we were taking pictures in our uniforms on top of the hill, and suddenly the thunderstorm started. We could literally see the thunder on the hill next to us. And it was really scary. And suddenly it started raining, and without taking off our uniforms, which are white, we ran downhill. Nobody remembered the road. We were just running away from the thunder in our white uniforms, in the mud and in the rain. To make it faster, I even sat down on my ass and slid it downhill to the next trough, because it was zigzagging around the hill. And I just slid it downhill. But it was bumpy, so I would jump and bump on my ass till I got down finally. And somewhere in the middle of our way, the rain suddenly stopped. So instead of going home, we decided to stop and take more pictures. Yes, we love making pictures. Well, for me, it was impossible, of course, because my uniform became brown instead of white. So a few of us who were unable to take pictures decided to just continue walking down on our own. We somehow turned a different valley. Somebody mistook the road, and we took a different turn. And there was this river where they caught kalmahi, the salmon, I think. So we had to walk all around the hill to get back to our house. And even though we were so tired, it was kind of an adventure to explore the valley. And we were so tired and exhausted that the first thing I remember was when I went to the second floor where a girl's restroom was. And I looked into the mirror, and instead of legs, I had two poles, like this very tiny sticks, because I guess I lost a lot of weight during this journey. And because it was raining, I didn't notice my sunburn. And I was feeling cold, and everybody thought I caught a cold, and they put me next to a stew to get warm. And it was a terrible choice, because all my back was actually hurting from sunburn, and I couldn't speak properly to them. So for quite a while, I was sitting at the hot stew, burning even worse. And finally, I let them know, so they put mazzoni, the sour milk, on my back. That's a funny tradition we actually have in Georgia, that when you get a sunburn, our grandmothers usually will put a cold sour milk on the burned area, because it would suck out all the heat, and you wouldn't get the bumps. And the camp was all like that, because we didn't have a running water there. And of course, girls wanted to take a bath. Like, imagine exercising in a hot sun three times a day. So they gave us this little iron pot. I don't even know how to call it. It was a small basin, but like an 8-9-year-old child could have a bath in it. But when you are over 20, it's like you can only sit in it, half squeezed and bent and twisted. So they warmed up the water for us on this fireplace and filled this pot, put it in the middle of the room, closed all the curtains, and kicked all the boys out. So we girls would take turns and took our baths like that. It was so awkward when you're sitting in the middle of the empty room alone in this small basin trying to take a bath. But this kind of experience brings you so close together with the community. Boys and girls, we would live in one house, we would train together, we would have experiences like this, and all of them were really, really respectful. So we were like brothers and sisters. And first time maybe in my young and adult life, I felt really light. I don't know how to explain this feeling very properly, but literally I had a family and friends with whom I could open up, talk about anything, and wouldn't be afraid of disrespect or being misunderstood or anything like that, or even being judged for being a girl who's doing martial arts. This kind of community goes with you a very long way. You share the same philosophy, you train for the same goal, you help each other. Like, that was the ideal place for me, and that was the community I wish would spread its wings to our whole society. Outside of the club, we all had our own lives. Somebody was a lawyer, somebody was a specialist of hydraulics or, I don't know, water pipes. Somebody was an artist, somebody was a musician. And I also believe that that's how the culture works. There is no specific top leader and godhead needed in order to force people to be cultural and respectful and empathetic toward each other. Like in Taekwondo, I think on each level, in each small group, every individual has a responsibility to convince the others around them to stay true to the morale and stay human. You don't have to be a politician or cultural minister or Taekwondo coach in order to convince three people around you to act properly and not cross the boundaries, to teach each other to protect the weak, to stand up to the injustice, or to discuss the events happening around you in a truthful and sharing way. I was always concerned looking at the events unfolding right now in our country, and everybody is seeking and searching for this hero, a leader who would unite the whole nation and save us in the face of the atrocities happening around the world. But the time has passed, and it's been years and years, and such leaders just don't appear. And a lot of people are putting pressure on some other people to become politicians, to give up on their own cause, on their own lives, on their professions and career aspirations, and become political leaders. But I don't think that we actually need more politicians. I think we need more leaders on a local, on a small level. Like in Taekwondo, red belt is gonna teach the green belt, black belt is gonna teach the red belt, and so on and so forth. Even in your own family, in your own kindergarten, in your own school, in your own club, in your own workplace, you can be a leader and a hero for one day, as David Bowie would sing. Keeping the society moral and culture up to a notch is not one person's responsibility. We should all do it. If you would go by a philosophical method, we could call it a butterfly effect. I'm sure some of you have heard of it. It's just the courage to believe in small actions that can lead to huge strides in a society. And these small steps is what we should try to find. Little things that can change something around you can have a huge impact on what's happening in the whole society. I think the pressure of trying to put the whole responsibility onto others and make the demands where one person or two people or a small group of people has to take the whole load of responsibility of commanding the society is really damaging for us. We don't have to be the heroes who are gonna stand on the street and fight the police. You don't have to be the hero who's gonna pick a fight with politicians. You don't have to be the hero who's gonna go to jail in order to convince all the others that something in the society is wrong. But you can make small moves in your own circle. Let me know what your thoughts are. Thank you for your attention, and don't forget to follow, subscribe, and support.